are here. We are here for the first time since the pandemic, live back at UOS. Some folks are participating via Zoom, and some folks are actually here in person. So this is wonderful. This week, live and in person. We are this week, Parshat Matos Maaseh, a double Parsha, very long Parsha this week. It's also Rosh Chodesh, so we have two Torahs we're going to take out this week. One for the Parsha, one for the Maftir for Rosh Chodesh, and Hallel. So it should be a lovely, lovely davening. Today's topic for our class is the cities of refuge, the Arei Miklat, which is a really fascinating aspect of a Jewish criminal justice, we could say, has some really neat insights into the whole purpose of the Arei Miklat, how they work, and what the reason is. Okay, so let's just first start by, as we have been, by looking at the way the Sefer HaChinuch classifies the mitzvah. So for those of you who are sitting here, you have the sheet, it's page one. For those of you who are at home, hopefully you could see the source sheet on the screen. It's source number one. So here we go. Sefer HaChinuch, this is mitzvah number 410 of the 613 mitzvot. Mitzvah 410, and the mitzvah says as follows. Mitzvat Beit Din l'shloach makeh nefesh bishgaga me'iro l'arei miklat. The commandment that the courts were commanded to send one who smites a soul inadvertently, right? Someone who accidentally kills someone, to a city, right, to a special city, L'ir Miklat, a city where they are protected, that's what it means, a city of refuge. L'hoshivo mi'miklat sh'ne'emar, and this is the pasuk, L'hoshivo oto ha'ida el ir miklat, and the community shall restore him to his city of refuge. V'yeshev ba admot ha-kohen ha-gadol. This may be the most interesting aspect of this mitzvah, that the person who goes to this ir miklat, how long is their sentence? So it's not dependent on the crime. The sentence is until the kohen gadol dies. When the kohen gadol dies, this person is set free. So we have to understand what this has to do with the kohen gadol, right? Why is the person's length of their sentence dependent on the death of the Kohen Gadol? V'gam ha-makeh gam hu b'chlal mitzvat aseh zeh. And also the smiter, he too is included in this positive commandment, meaning it's a mitzvah for the Beit Din to set up these cities of refuge, and it's a mitzvah for the person to go to the city of refuge. Said Amar Elav, it says about the person who inadvertently killed someone, Ki be'ir miklato yeshev admot ha-kohen ha-gadol. For he shall dwell in the city of refuge until the death of the kohen gadol. Okay, so the first thing we need to try to understand is why. Why does the inadvertent killer have to go to this ir miklat, right? Why can't the inadvertent killer just go home? It was a mistake, right? It happened by accident. That's what shkaga means, inadvertent. So anyone want to suggest an answer? First, we'll look at the folks here in person. Anyone want to suggest an answer as to why an inadvertent killer has to go to Ir Miklat? Well, yes, Marilyn.
The person who has killed his family wants to take revenge anyway and might try to harm the person, the killer,
okay.
And so he needs to be protected.
Great. Okay. So the way Marilyn's looking at it is that's not a punishment at all for the person who inadvertently killed someone. It's actually protection. It's like witness protection. Right. One second. I'll get to you. It's like witness protection. We're concerned that even though it was an inadvertent murder, the family of the person who was killed is distraught, and maybe in a moment of passion or even in a premeditated way, they may go after the inadvertent killer. So not only does the person get to go to the Ir Miklat, we learn in the Gemara, we'll see it a little bit, that he is actually, or she is actually, escorted to an Ir Miklat by officials of the Beit Din as a way to protect the person, so that if they happen to, on their way, meet a family member of the person who was killed, they could try to talk them out of taking revenge. So the Ir Miklat, and we're going to see that this is the view of the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ir Miklat is there to protect the person from vigilante justice. Okay? Excellent, Marilyn. Yes, Andrea.
They don't have to see him.
So who doesn't have to see?
The person who was wrong.
Excellent. Okay, great. Another great insight that Andrea shared is that this is different, actually, right? The first approach of Marilyn is in favor of the inadvertent killer. And Andrea is suggesting maybe the Ir Miklat is actually done as a way to understand and appreciate how the family of the deceased is feeling. Imagine they live in the same town, and every time you go to the supermarket, you see the person who accidentally killed my brother. That's a terrible feeling. Right? I don't want to see that person. Every time I see that person, I'm reminded that my brother or some other relative is dead. So we want to take the person out of circulation, so to speak, to be sensitive to the psychological state of the family of the deceased. Now, that favors the family of the deceased, but I think it also may favor the inadvertent killer as well, because it could lead to the family of the deceased, again, becoming very distraught and actually wanting to avenge the murder of their family member. But these are two different approaches. Again, one is to protect the inadvertent killer from the wrath of the deceased, and the other is to protect the family from the psychological trauma of having to see the person who inadvertently killed their loved one. Okay. Anybody on Zoom care to share anything? Okay, go ahead, Zach.
I think it's a layer because first and second one, which it's not like first one or second one, they both applied. Third one is even if it was innocent accidental killing, it's still killing. Life was taken. It means the person must have time away from anybody to atone his or her wrongdoing. Even, I think it comes in a parallel. I always wonder why slaughtering red calf make a person tummy.
Right.
It's actually practically in parallel. Person must atone what was done. This is why cities of refuge, like excellent idea.
Okay.
For such thing.
Okay. Excellent. So Zach is suggesting that the even though it was an inadvertent murder, at the end of the day, a life was taken, and the person who did it needs a timeout to consider the severity of the matter. Because again, even though it was inadvertent, by their actions, and we're going to come back to this a little bit later with a little bit of a twist, by their actions, someone lost their life. And that can't just go on without any type of introspection, without any type of response. And so the person is sent to this Ir Miklat to perhaps absorb the enormity of what happened, that because of their action, someone lost their life. Okay. Great. We still haven't answered at what has to do with the Kohen Gadol. We're going to get there. Let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch has to say about it. So we're still on page one. If you're looking on the screen, it's source number two, Misharshei HaMitzvah, from the roots of the mitzvah. Again, the Sefer HaChinuch also, besides teaching us the rules of the mitzvah, also endeavors to give us the reason for the mitzvah. So we've come up with our own reasons, and some of them are going to mesh well with what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Misharshei HaMitzvah, Lafi, She'avon haritzicha chamor ad ma'od. The iniquity of killing is very weighty. It's very serious. Sheba hashchatat ha'olam, as the destruction of the world comes through it. Ad shemru zechon levracha, shareg nefesh b'mezid afilu asa kol ha'mitzvot eino nitzal min hadin. To the point that the rabbi said that even if one kills one person on purpose, even if they did all the other commandments, they are not saved from judgment. Shinamar, okay, they quote a pasuk. This is sort of what Zach is saying. Therefore, it is worthy that a person who killed, even b'shogeg, right, even accidentally, shabbat takala gidola kazu al yado, since this terrible mishap came through their action, again, even though it was accidental, it came through their action, sheyitzta'er aleha tsar galut sheshakul kima'at kitsa'ar mita. Listen to this. Shenifrad ha'adam me'ohavav u'me'eres molgata. He likens, the Sefer Rachim, so interesting. He likens galut, he likens exile to death. Right? What happens when one dies? When one dies, they are separated from their friends and from their place where they live. And that's what happens when one is sent into exile to a ir miklat. They are separated from their friends and from their, from their town, from their hometown, from their townspeople, where they live. V'shochein kol yamav im zarim, and they just live the rest of their life with strangers. So this is really fascinating. Sefer Chinuch is saying at least two really neat things. One is that even though it was an accident, this terrible thing happened through their hands, and the person has to do some introspection. And the specific type of reaction is what we would call mida keneged mida, right? This is measure for measure. The person killed someone, causing them to be separated, or their loved ones, we would say, to be separated from them because they have to leave, because they're dead. So similarly, this person and their loved ones are separated from each other because they have to now move to a new place. Now, of course, there's no punitive aspect of this. They're not physically punished, but this is hard. Right, this is very serious. It really begs the question of level of responsibility. Right, just what level of responsibility must we be concerned about, even when we are not doing anything wrong? Right, even when we're not doing anything wrong, according to this approach, we have to be really, really careful not to do anything which may cause some sort of damage. Yeah.
The separation from the family and support. I mean, the whole family is really punished. Also, we didn't talk about the one person, but if the perpetrator,
right,
actually accidental, is banished essentially until the high priest dies, who knows how long that
is. Yeah.
You've got a family that's been left behind because of an
right
accident.
So it could be that the immediate family goes with the person. It could be. Because we'll see that other people sometimes went with the person. But yeah, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. So that's the first idea of the Sefer HaChinuch. He makes another point. He says, "Ve'od to'elet bidavar." There's another benefit for this. Libal yiru kirovei hamake et harotzeach. Just like Marilyn said, like Andrea said. The other benefit is so that the person will. I'm sorry. Back up. I'm backing up. Labal yiru kirovei hamake et harotzeach le'nehem. Tamid b'makom shinasta hara'a v'kol darchei ha'Torah no'am. And the other thing is, that first of all, there's a protection, the Sefer HaChinuch says, from the Goalei Hadam, from the Avengers. And the last thing it says is what Andrea said, is that the family members of the deceased are not going to be put in a situation where they have to regularly see the person in the town or in the place where, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, where the evil was done. And then he says, V'kol darchei ha'Torah no'am, all the ways of the Torah are pleasant. They're pleasant because they protect the inadvertent killer, and they're pleasant because they also protect the family members from having to sort of relive this trauma every time they see the person. So you both picked up on the two, on the second and third answers, respectively, of the Sefer HaChinuch. Yeah, Andrea.
Do we have in Judaism anything like the concept that we see on television sometimes is forgiveness of the killer?
Sure. Yeah. But that wouldn't help. Meaning, even if the killer is forgiven, I think they still have to go to the Ir Miklat. Yeah.
But yeah. Rabbi, how yes. about the victim's family? If they do harm to this other guy who accidentally did harm to their family, but now it becomes intentional, what happens to them?
So I think they have license to up until a point, I'm going to have to check that out. Good question. Okay, now let's look at a Gemara in Masechet Makot, and then we'll look at a couple of other really neat points about this. So the Gemara says as follows. I'm not going to do this Gemara. I'll explain it outside when we need to. Let's turn to page 4, and I'll scroll to there on the source sheet. We're going to look at the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah on page 20b. This is a famous statement by Pinchas ben Yair, and it's based on this statement that the book, which is called the Mesilat Yesharim, is written. Mesilat Yesharim is a classic book of Musar, of a character development. And it's based on this sort of order or this sort of ladder of character development. And Rav Pinchas ben Yair says as follows. Amar Rav Pinchas ben Yair, Torah meviyah lidei zehirut. Torah leads one to being careful. Now, in the commentary, it says careful in the performance of mitzvot, but not necessarily. It just could mean being careful in general. And that's going to be very important for us. And then you see, we're not going to read this whole braita, but then you see that the ladder continues. Once one is careful, zihirut mevia lidei zrizut. This leads to diligence. Zrizut mevia lidei nikiyut. Diligence leads to cleanliness. Nikiyut mevia lidei prishut. Cleanliness leads to abstentation, and then to purity, and then to piety, and then to humility. And each chapter of this book, Mesilat Yesharim, teaches the various specifics of how to achieve these various levels and how to practice these various levels of moral and character development. But what we're interested in is the first level. Torah meviyah lidei zehirut. That the study of Torah brings one to being careful. Now let's just remember that we're dealing here with a shogeg. We're dealing here with a person who killed inadvertently. And it's possible that they weren't necessarily as careful as they should have been, right? Which the Sefer HaChinuch says that even though they didn't do it on purpose, at the end of the day, the death did come at their hands. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's look at a really interesting passage in a book called Leket Sichot Musar, which was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Scher, and you see his a little bit of his bio on the bottom of page 4. He lived from 1874 to 1954. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slabatka Yeshiva in Lithuania, and then eventually in Bnei Brak. He managed to escape the Shoah and get to Israel to survive the Shoah. He married the famous altar of Slabatka's daughter, Nastun Tzvi Finkel's daughter. Okay, and he's from the Musar school, and he has three volumes of essays, speeches on character development, some of them connected to the holidays. And this one is actually connected to the weekly Parsha this week that deals with Ir Miklat. And you see, I just showed you the cover page of the book. And now let's look at the bit of the essay itself. Okay, this is on page 6. Parshat Arei Miklat. The Mashal Milamedet Otanu Rabot Al Mahut Chovat Hazihirut. He's talking in this essay about the characteristic of Zihirut, of being careful in our actions. thinking everything through, being deliberate, right? Not acting on a whim, right? Zihirut. And he says, we learn the importance of Zihirut from our parsha. He's going to explain. Rotseach nefesh bishkaga, one who kills someone inadvertently. Goleli im miklat, that person goes to a city of refuge. Mai chata'o shel hashogeg, what is the sin of this person? So he's assuming that going to an ir miklat is a punishment, which we can understand. You have to leave everything you're familiar with behind and most of your family and friends. Maybe it's a punishment. But why is he being punished? Right? It was an accident. B'chovato lahavi karban chatat mifaresh haramban, b'fnei shekol ha'avonot yolidu ginai b'nefesh v'heim mumba. First, he notes a very interesting spiritual or theological point. He quotes the Ramban and says that every sin that we do, even if it's inadvertent, in some way stains our soul. Right? In some way stains our soul. And in order to meet God at the end of 120, we have to be clean. And so we have to repent from our sins and we have to bring karbanot when the Beit HaMikdash stood in order to sort of cleanse ourselves, right? Every sin brings a little bit of stain, okay? Yeah, purity, exactly, yeah. Aval harei b'karban chatat nitztaveh al hasmicha v'havidui v'hatshuva im kein ein kan rak hataharot la'atid elagam tshuva al ha'avar. When it comes to a karban, and not only does it help us remain clean for the future, it also helps us wipe away what was done. Umahi ashmato. However, we still have the question: what was the wrong that this person did? And he says, "Va'al karchenu sheashmahu choser hazehirut." It must be, says Rabbi Sher, that it is a problem with the person's care, that they weren't careful enough. Choser b'zihirut. There's some sort of diminishment of being careful. They weren't careful enough. Shemachmata ba lideshkaga. And because of it, it came to some inadvertent situation. Ubiglala goleh harotseach b'shogeg li'ir miklat. And that's why the person has to go into this ir miklat. V'galut michaperet avon. We know the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that exile achieves forgiveness for sin. But he's still not satisfied. Right? Because, okay, now he's suggesting that there needs to be some punishment, even though it was shogeg, but why go to this ir miklat, right? Why is that the specific punishment, right? Could have been, why not a fine? Why not something else, right? Why this specific punishment? Aval, kishenit bonein bidavar, yiret. Shagam im haya av she'ala b'suma v'nishtabra ha'shliva tachtal. He says, let's think about it this way. Let's say there's a father who is on a ladder. And he goes on the ladder, and one of the rungs of the ladder breaks, and he falls down. And when falling down, he kills his son, who's beneath the ladder. B'shogeg, that's an accident, right? U'bivadai ahavat Aval, but no, certainly the father loves the son. Va'ason norahu avuro. This is a terrible, terrible event, terrible tragedy that happened. B'chol zot chayav hu ligalot. In this case, the father has to go into exile to one of these arei miklat as well. Why? Umadua. Mishum shelo yatzai dei chovato b'diktuk chovat hazihirut. Hamutelat al hadam ki'inyan shvichut damim. He wasn't careful enough. He should have checked the ladder. He should have checked to make sure that all the rungs are safe, right? There was an element here of, I'm not sure if I want to call it negligence, but he wasn't as careful as he could have been, okay? It's still, again, we're still getting a second run. We're still stuck, though, on why going to an ir miklat is an appropriate punishment for this lack of care. And he's going to answer it in the next paragraph. Yes.
What if the family forgives him? They understand it's a
I don't think it matters. I think he still has to go.
Still has to go.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's get to the bottom of why this is the specific punishment. So says Rabbi Sher, V'im hit Rachel ha'adam b'chovat ha'zihirut, ma'o tikuno. And if the person's transgression is they weren't as careful as they should have been, lashuv el ha'yesod b'abasis, they have to go back to basics. El ha'torah. Why? Mevi'a l'dei zihirut. Remember we read Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair that said Torah study creates a personality that is deliberate and careful and thoughtful. That's the purpose of the Ir Miklat. What's the connection to the Ir Miklat and Torah study? Who lived in these Arei Miklat besides the occasional inadvertent killer? The Levian. These were towns which were set aside and given to the Levian because they were not part of the regular Chalukah. They were not part of the regular division of the land. They were given these places to live. And the Levim were the Torah teachers of the day. So the person is exiled to basically what is one big Beit Midrash, where they're surrounded by Torah teachers. And hopefully, the being in the presence of these Torah teachers and listening to these Torah teachers will create a more careful personality. As we said, Torah mevi l'dei zehirut, right? Torah brings one to being more careful. And that's what Rabbi Sher says. He says, Al kein golehu l'ir miklat, therefore this person is sent to an ir miklat. V'chol arei ha-leviim hayu arei miklat. All of the cities of the Leviim, they were the arei miklat. Shevat levi ha-panoi l'torah v'ha-shem hu nachalato. The tribe of Levi does not have to work. And they are therefore able to study Torah. V'hayu arim elu batei midrashot chayim. These were living batei midrash. These were living study halls, these towns, because they were, again, they were occupied by the Levim. V'kol yoshrehem yoshrei ohalim ba'olah shel Torah. Everyone who lived there was a regular student of Torah. Unless they were working in the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan at the point, they had time and they spent their time studying Torah. Umilvad ha-ta'alot b'tzavta nidrash kol echad lasi'a ta'alut shebikocho lahagia aleha v'nasa l'achad harim ha'ele v'chai im ha-talmid goleh migalim rabo imo. He says the proof that these arei miklat and this punishment is to enhance the character of the person through Torah. We have a halacha that if a student is sent into exile, the student's teacher goes into exile with them. They move their Beit Midrash there, right? The imharav goleh meviim elav et kol yeshivato. And if the rabbi goes into galut, they have to the yeshiva goes into galut with him. Lehitalut beharbe lamati mirabotai mitamdim ulam kedei laharbot chayim. This is in order to create more life, meaning to create people who are more careful. What I really think is beautiful about this is I think the idea could be expanded to understanding what the purpose of Torah is. Right? The purpose of Torah is to make someone a more deliberate, thoughtful person. That they do not act on a whim. And they are very careful about their actions. And they are very careful about safety. And they are very careful to make sure that they're doing everything just the way it's supposed to be. That's the type of personality that Torah is supposed to create, right? Torah is supposed to create someone who does not quickly react, but who, you know, the count to 10 trick before you're going to react to something, right? That's the type of personality that the Torah is supposed to create. And if the Leviim are Torah personalities, because they have time to study Torah, because they don't have to work, they get gifts of food and other things. And now God has given them these towns. Therefore, they become great models, and the person who inadvertently killed, and again, because they inadvertently killed, it is a sign that they were not careful enough. Therefore, this will improve their character. So this connects, right? Why the person who inadvertently kills has to go to an ir miklat. It's not necessarily punishment. It's what we would call rehabilitation, right? And this is a really interesting insight into criminal justice, right? What's the purpose of criminal justice? In America, it's clear that the purpose of criminal justice is punishment. We know and see that the criminal justice system in America is not the most successful criminal justice system in the world, right? A lot of people are in jail, and the punitive aspect of American criminal justice doesn't help anybody, right? Doesn't help anybody. A system that is focused on rehabilitation, and that's exactly what we're seeing here, right? Again, even this person's not a criminal, but the idea is easily applied. Listen to what we're saying here. We put this person into a setting where they are surrounded by the most upstanding people in society. But what's jail? The opposite. Jail is full of people who are not necessarily the most upstanding people in society. And it's no wonder that people who are in jail don't have role models to learn from, because everyone around them is also there because they've done something wrong, presumably, even though many times it's not the case, right? I don't want to speak in generalities, but it's just so interesting here that the whole mentality here is we put the person in a setting where they could learn from a role model. Now, it's true that other inadvertent killers are there too, but the majority of people there are Torah scholars who are going to live a life in a way that's going to hopefully have a positive effect on the inadvertent killer. So it's a really, really neat insight into criminal justice. Okay, two comments. Yes, Marilyn.
Are there other crimes for which people are sent to the city of refuge?
No, this is it. But there's also in halacha no real jail. Right? There is no such thing as jail in halacha. There are other things, but no jail. I plan on giving at the J. I'm going to give some courses. I think actually, I may be doing on a Sunday morning in a different synagogue, which everyone's going to be invited to. A couple of like a 3-part series on criminal justice and Judaism. Yeah,
I have a question.
Hold on.
So a deliberate killer would not go to these.
So a deliberate killer would go initially, but once it is decided that it was deliberate, then they're taken by the Beit Din and they go through the whole trial of a deliberate killer. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Mom.
I have two. First is a statement that I love what the Rabbanim knew thousands of years ago, because when I was a young girl, like 12, somebody in the community became pregnant, and all of a sudden she was not seen anymore. She was sent to some aunt where she knew nobody, and nobody knew who. But the point is that if you send someone who has done something by accident and surrounded, as you say, by upstanding, Torah learning people, they can only absorb what you are marinating in. That's how I'll put it.
Right, number two, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a wonderful, brilliant thing that they did. Number two was, you asked the question, but I don't think you got to it yet. I don't understand why the time limit is till their Kohen Gadol at the time passes away.
I haven't answered that yet.
All right, number three, I have another question. Did the person go with their entire family, the immediate family, or did they go themselves?
I'm not sure. I have to check that out. I'm not sure.
There is somewhere to check it out, you mean?
There's always somewhere to check it out. Gotta find it.
Okay. Google. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, so let's the last piece of the puzzle. What does the Kohen Gadol have to do with this? Right? What is the Kohen Gadol's death? So now we're going to see. So far, one of the main lessons of this is responsibility, being careful. Even though we think we're being careful, we have to be more careful. I'm sitting here with my sling. I've learned that lesson. I thought I was being careful that fateful Sunday morning when I looked behind me to make sure there was no traffic coming, but I was not careful enough. Okay. And the only one I almost killed was myself, so I'm not going to an ir miklat. But what about the king? What about the Kohen Gadol? So here we go. Let's look at the following. Bottom page 9. And for those of you at home, it is the Gemara in Masechet Makot. Okay? The Gemara Masechet Makot says the following. Well, here's the pasuk, first of all. Ki be'ir miklato yeshev ad mota kohen hagadol v'acharei mota kohen hagadol yashuv harotzeach el eretz achuzato. He has to remain in the city until the Kohen Gadol dies. When the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes home. So you can imagine that this halacha, that the person is in an ir miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies, led to a strange situation, which is the desire of the inadvertent killer and the inadvertent killer's family that the Kohen Gadol die as quickly as possible. Right? The quicker he dies, the quicker my son comes home. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. It's fascinating. L'fchach imotean shel kohanim misapkot lahen michya uchsot g'dei shelo yitpalalu al b'neihem shemut. So someone asked the question, which is a good question. How do the people make a living in the Ir Miklat? Here's the answer. The mother of the Kohen Gadol would provide these people with food and clothing so that they don't pray for the death of their son. Right? I'm sitting there in the Ir Miklat because I inadvertently killed someone. And I'm davening that the Kohen Gadol dies. And the mother of the Kohen Gadol says, wait, I'll make you a deal. You stop davening that my son dies, and I'll give you food and clothing for the rest of your life. Right? I can imagine there was a WhatsApp group between all the inadvertent killers and the mother of the Kohen Gadol. And the inadvertent killer says, you know what? I could sure use a new pair of shoes. And she hops onto Amazon and she orders a new pair of shoes. And before the guy could start praying for the death of the Kohen because of prime shipping, in a couple of hours, he's got a new pair of shoes, right? Okay. So the Gemara, however, really wonders about this, right? Really wonders about this. And ask the question on page 10. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah and says, "Lefichach imotan shel kohanim," etc. Therefore, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol would provide those exiled to cities of refuge with sustenance and garments, so that they would not pray that their sons die. The Gemara asks, "Tama delo matzlu? Ha matzlu mighty? Is the reason that the Kohen Gadol did not die was because the people did not pray for his death? But if they had prayed for his death, he would die? I mean, I'm praying for the Kohen Gadol's death. The Kohen Gadol hasn't done anything wrong. Why should my prayer for this innocent person's death be effective?" And that's what the Gemara says. V'hakativ, kitzipur lenod kidror leof kein klalat chinam lo tavo. As the wandering sparrow, as the flying swallow, so a curse that is baseless shall come home. If you daven for the death of an innocent person, that's not going to work. So why is the mother of the Kohen Gadol nervous? You want to pray for the death of my son? Go ahead, he's innocent. I'm not going to bring you food and clothing and chicken soup and shoes and run for your every beck and call, right? It's a good question. So let's just review. The Mishnah says, since the sentence is until the death of the Kohen Gadol, the mother of the Kohen Gadol would give food and clothing to all of the inadvertent killers, lest they pray for the death of her son. And the Gemara says, who cares if they pray for the death of her son? He's an innocent man. I hope that's not the way prayer works. It's not magic. It's not you're an innocent person and therefore I could cast a spell on you and kill you. Anyone have a suggested answer? Why is the Kohen Gadol's mother worried that this prayer would work?
Because she wants her son to live.
But why would his son not live? I'm praying for the death of an innocent man. Why would God kill an innocent man? Just because I want the person to die. But a group prayer would overcome God's understanding. The person's 100% innocent. Who cares how many people are praying for his death? He's innocent.
Is it possible?
And that's what the pasuk. That's what the pasuk in Mishlei says. The pasuk in Proverbs says. So Marilyn raises the possibility. that maybe the Kohen Gadol is not innocent. What do you mean?
Maybe at some point he sinned. Nobody is perfect.
Okay, so maybe he's a sinner. He's not perfect. Okay, could be. The Gemara entertains something similar, but it's a much more, it's like a really incredible answer. The Gemara entertains something similar to what Marilyn says, but expands it. The Gemara says as follows. Again, the point of the Pasuk in Mishlei, God does not answer baseless prayers. If you're praying for an innocent person, presumably, Adrian, even if it's 100 people praying for an innocent person, it shouldn't make a difference, right? The Gemara says, no, like Marilyn, maybe he's guilty. Why? Says the Gemara, Hahu Saba Mipirke Deraba Shmiale. A certain elder said to him, Shmiale Shehaya Lahen Livakesh Rachamin al Doran Velo Bikshu. He heard a lecture given by Rava, who said that maybe the Kohen Gadol, who's the leader of the nation, should have prayed for their generation that no inadvertent murders happen, but didn't pray, and therefore they're partially responsible. And since they're partially responsible, they're at risk, and therefore if I pray that they die, the prayer has something to attach to. So this is really fascinating. Right?
Rabbi,
this is really, really fascinating. The Gemara is saying that it's the Kohen Gadol's responsibility to pray that their generation not suffer, right, from inadvertent murders. I think the Gemara is trying to teach something a subtle idea, right? That ultimately, the leaders are responsible for the actions and the blemishes and the faults of the generation, not directly, right? But because of the example they set, the things they say, the things they do, the things they don't do, there's a connection between the way a society acts and the way that they see their leaders. I think that's what the Gemara may be saying here. Not only that this Kohen Gadol should have prayed for that there be no inadvertent murders during their reign, but they should also have acted in ways and taught in ways that people should really be careful about these things. And because they didn't, it's a little bit on them. And therefore, the mother of the Kohen Gadol has to be super careful to make sure no one prays for their son's death. I think that's such a powerful idea, right? In terms of how we understand leadership, right? And how we understand how leadership can trickle down into the behavior of the general public. So now we have answered all of our questions. Right, that even Shogeg is a, and if we look at one more source here, we look at the Maharal on page 9, where it says Gur Ari, the third source from the bottom. We see a similar idea where he says, "Aval nira li ki kol Shogeg hayalo liyot nizhar shelo yaharog." Every person who kills by accident should have been very careful to make sure that no one is killed because of their actions. Therefore, they are chayav to go into exile. If there's no fault, why should they go into exile? What they do? They should have been very, very careful. That's what the Maharal says. Similar idea to what we had said before. So very powerful. Okay, yes, Mom, you want to say something?
Yes, I wanted to say two things. Number one, I don't know how your accident happened, but based on the many years I know you, I would know you were wearing a helmet, correct?
That's right. I was wearing a helmet. I didn't bang my head. So
I
was wearing a helmet.
And I would also think, based on your old habits, that you were not riding 90 miles an hour between two cars.
No, but I did a stupid thing. I was on the road instead of on the bike path because the bike path was closed because of construction. And I should not have been on the bike. I should have said, okay, the bike path is closed. I'm going to turn around and go back the other way on the bike path. Instead, I went on the road because I said to myself, it's 6:30 in the morning. No one's on the road. It's safe. And I was wrong. I was not. I'm a perfect example of the lesson of this. I thought I was being careful, but I was not careful enough. I was not careful enough. Okay. I appreciate you trying to defend me, Mom. Thank you. But I was not, I appreciate that. I was not careful enough. Okay. Everyone should have that's all for the day. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day. I will hopefully see you in shul. And if you want to join Thursday night at 8:30 on the same Zoom channel, is Thursday night Ramban, a half hour of a couple of lessons of the Ramban's commentary on the Torah to help us get ready for Shabbat. Give us something to say over at our Shabbat table to think about. That's 8:30 on Thursday night. Until then, I will hopefully see you and wish everyone a wonderful day. Great to be back in person. Hopefully those of you who joined today via satellite or whatever this is, via Zoom, can join us soon and in person. I just want to let everybody know that I will be away for most of the month of August, but starting in the beginning of September, the Lunch and Learn will take place live at the JCC, and it'll be catered by Lakey. So if you want to join the Lunch and Learn, same exact time, continuing with the Parsha, 12 o'clock lunch. If you order lunch in advance, it'll be waiting for you in the room when you get there, and hopefully you'll be able to join. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your good wishes. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Nice to see you all. Shalom.
Thank you, Ray.